We're back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. Again, all week long, we've been hosted by our friends over at the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers. My co-host right now, Mark Furman, who is our litigation and business reporter. Thank you, Mark, for everything that you're doing to support the show and get the message of entrepreneurship out.
Great to be here with you, Jeffrey. Glad we could host the show this week.
Great job. Our next guest, returning guest, it seems like you only want to come back when we're over at Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers. You won't see us in our studios.
I don't know. I'll come anytime.
Thonda Brassard?
Yes.
From Fiduciary Trust, and we're going to talk about trusts, correct?
Yes, we are.
Right. This is something that's near and dear to my family's discussions almost weekly.
Well, there's a lot going on with trusts. You may have heard of the Kraft case. Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, had a big case recently, and I think that's brought some good press to trusts in Massachusetts. But I'd love to talk to you today about some of the work that I do both in Massachusetts and in New Hampshire.
I'm all ears.
Okay. So I'm the general counsel of Fiduciary Trust Company of New England. We are a non-depository trust company, which was chartered in 2014. And we created the affiliate so we could bring some of the great laws, trust and tax laws that exist in New Hampshire to all of our clients. So to our current clients and to new clients. And one of the things that we've seen a lot of lately, and so I'm particularly excited about, are trust modifications and how to fix a trust that doesn't seem to be working anymore.
Can you give us an example? I mean, I've seen trusts myself that don't work, but can you give our listener an example of a trust that might not work? Because they might be home and not even know what to look at.
Sure. So the Kraft case, which was big here in Massachusetts that I referenced, that was a case where Robert Kraft had established a trust, a long-term trust, for his family.
Did he do this when Myra was alive? Was this done jointly? I'm just trying to clarify for me.
Yeah. I don't recall if she was alive. I believe she was at
right.
the time. But he had established the trust himself, and so he was the donor. And he was still alive at the time that they wanted to fix it. And so what he wanted to do was he felt that at the time that he brought it to the court's attention, his children, who were the primary beneficiaries of the trust, were mature enough to handle serving as a trustee of their own trust. And so he basically wanted to modify the trust so that his children could come on as a trustee. And these trusts were Massachusetts trusts, and so they were unable to make this change by under Massachusetts law. The tool that he wanted to use was something called decanting. And so with decanting is what it sort of might sound like to you with wine. You take the assets in one trust and you put them in another, and you usually do that to improve the administrative provisions of the trust. So that was the case here.
It's sort of like decanting with wine.
Sort of.
Take it out of the bottle and put
it
into the decanter and let it breathe.
It's in a prettier.
And it's better where it is in the second state.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And so they wanted to do this so they could accomplish their family objectives. And in Massachusetts, there's no statute which says you can do this. So they had to bring it to the court's attention and file an action in the court requesting that this be done. So they were successful in Massachusetts, and the court said, okay, Robert Kraft is still alive. He filed an affidavit which said this was my intention. A very important tenet of trust law is to carry out the donor's intent. And so in this case, it was nice because he was still alive and he could say, yes, this was my intent. And so what happened was the court said, okay, because the donor says this is what he wanted to happen, we're going to carry it out. So in Massachusetts, we have this case, which stands for decanting in Massachusetts. But in New Hampshire, if you want to fix a trust, you can do this by statute. And you might ask, why would you do it by using a statute versus case law, which is what we have in Massachusetts. And in New Hampshire, you would probably prefer the statute.
It's simpler, isn't it?
It's simpler. It's clearer.
If you were going to ask me up front like a professor, you know, make my guess, I would think that New Hampshire was making a more simple law to make it happen.
They're making it simpler because they're making it clearer. So right. it's really both. But they're making it clearer because the statute lays out exactly what you can and can't do when you decant. So, for example, you can't decant into a new trust that eliminates what we would call a vested interest of a beneficiary. So you can't just take out beneficiaries that are currently receiving income. So the rules are very reasonable. And because this is a legislative act, there's a statute involved. Usually the legislature works out all the kinks before they set it into law. So where in New Hampshire you have this nice clear proclamation of what you can and can't do, in Massachusetts you have this case, which is great and stands for something, but to be honest, practitioners aren't exactly sure and probably can't agree as to what it stands for. So what we do in New Hampshire through our New Hampshire affiliate is we allow our clients to take advantage of these New Hampshire laws because we serve as a corporate trustee, and therefore we have trusts that are administered in New Hampshire. So you can take advantage of such laws as the decanting statute.
And do you have the right to change the state law that controls a particular trust?
Sometimes you do, and when you do, it's much easier to move a trust to New Hampshire. So,
People do move their trusts?
Yes, they do. I think that people today are really looking at what jurisdiction they should set up their trusts in. It's nothing new, but I think with all the modernization in many states, not just New Hampshire, of their trust laws, people, both clients and lawyers that are drafting for their clients, are looking at all the different jurisdictions and trying to decide what jurisdiction the trust should reside in, where the situs of the trust should be.
And it almost seems to me that certain states are competing to have...
To be the best jurisdiction?
As Delaware became the best jurisdiction to incorporate, similar with trusts.
Absolutely.
So, for example, if you have a trust that's a Massachusetts trust that generates, let's say, $100,000 of income in a particular year, good-sized trust, then there's going to be state income tax because Massachusetts has an income tax. New Hampshire doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So that $100,000 of income won't be taxed in New Hampshire, is that correct?
That's right. If it's accumulated in the trust, then it won't be taxed. There's also no capital gains tax in New Hampshire. So we have both of those things in Massachusetts and lots of other jurisdictions like New York. So there are people who are looking carefully now to have their trusts reside in a state where it won't get at least the state tax. You can never eliminate
it. So they want to recant it.
They want to decant it.
Decant
yes.
it.
Decant it.
Yes.
Decant it. You know, I get the feeling that New Hampshire, you know, when I first moved here, I thought of New Hampshire as somewhat of a conservative state.
Hmm.
But in the last few years, I've gotten the feeling that with estate planning and a certain in terms of entrepreneurs, that New Hampshire's trying to become a lot more progressive and position itself differently around wealth.
Yes. New Hampshire has always had a wonderful history of, you know, live free or die, of promoting trust laws and allowing people, helping people to carry out their intentions after they die. They die and their assets continue on in trust. So there's a long tradition of that. But I would say since probably 2004, 2006, the legislature has really been very proactive in making sure that New Hampshire has the best laws that are out there. And I would actually argue that New Hampshire is the best state to administer a trust for a number of different reasons. If you look across the nation and you look at all the laws that are out there, Delaware is pretty similar and really is neck and neck in terms of the competition with New Hampshire. But New Hampshire has things like its own trust docket, which, Mark, you could probably appreciate as a litigator. It has its own trust docket. It's got a trust modification statute, which is another way you can modify a trust. So if you don't want to go through the whole exercise of decanting a trust, taking all the assets, putting them in a brand new trust, you can just make a very slight modification to a trust. As a trustee, you can do this in New Hampshire.
Can you do it without going to court?
Yes, you can do it without going to court. And technically, under the statute, you can do it without notifying the beneficiaries. Now, query whether you want to go that far. Right. Probably not in most cases, but what it does is it allows for very simple changes to be made to trust. So a slight change in an administrative provision, which would help make it easier or more efficient or less expensive to administer the trust.
So in the case of the Kraft case,
yep.
They had to file a petition in the Supreme Judicial
yes.
Court to get a decision that they're allowed to decant the trust.
Yes.
And
they probably spent a lot of money.
They probably did. So
and it took a lot of time.
And so under New Hampshire law, they could have just done it.
Probably with a trust modification statute.
So did you ever wake up in the last period of time and say, if only I had met Prince before he passed away? And what I could do for Prince?
Yes, actually I have. I'm a huge fan. But I hope that he had done some planning. I hope he had done some good planning.
Well, it looks like he didn't.
Yeah. Well, you never know with him.
You know, when you sit around, you sort of look at, he probably thought, well, there's enough to go around and I'm sticking around.
Yeah. I think that's rare. I really do. I think most people plan, albeit at different levels. But
and at different ages.
Right. But I have to say, I think most people do think about these things, and they do. I think they are now thinking about setting up trusts for their beneficiaries. You get all kinds of benefits from it. You not just controlling what happens to it, which in Prince's case, he's going to have no control over that unless he did.
I don't think he's got control over anything anymore.
No, but what we call it in trust law, we call it dead hand control. It's when a donor sets up a trust and they lay out the terms, and the trustee is responsible for carrying out those terms. So after the person dies, you still have dead hand control. You may be dead, but the trustee is responsible for doing what you laid out.
That's a good term for it. You know, it's funny how some of these sort of terms evolve. I'm not an attorney, but they're almost like something I'd hear in a pirate movie, but they're so appropriate.
That one's been around for a long time.
Yeah. It sounds like a pirate's trust, you know, dead hand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is, you know, it's an exciting topic, and you know, I'm apologetic we haven't had you on more frequently. I guess it's the Mark Furman factor. You have to have Mark in the room to want to talk to radio entrepreneurs. If somebody wants to find you, how would they do that?
Well, they would do that by looking up our website, which is fiduciarytrustne.com. And that's probably the best way to start. We've got some nice information there about what we do and who does it.
Great. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show again, and thank Mark Furman for bringing you back again.
Thank you for having me.
Great. And you know, we're going to move along to our next break. We have responsibilities. This is Radio Entrepreneurs, and we're always sharing the success of entrepreneurship. Thanks this week to Tarlo Breedhart and Rogers. We'll take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.